ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Read from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, text 15. Namam tuskriti namuta. Namam tuskriti namuta. Prabhatyante naradama. Prabhatyante naradama. Maya parita jnana. Maya aparita jnana. Asuram bhavam ashritaha. Asuram bhavam ashritaha. Namam tuskriti namuta. Prabhatyante naratama. Maya aparita jnana. Asuram bhavam ashritaha. Namam duskriti namuda. Prabhatyante naradama. Maya parita jnana. Asuram bhavam ashritaha. Namam duskriti namuda. Prabhatyante naradama. Maya parita jnana. Asuras Bhava. Mataji. Namam tuskriti namuda. Prabhatyante naradama. Maya viparita jnanam.
Asuram bhavam ashrita.
Unto me, Tushkritina, miscreants, Mudha, foolish, Prabhatyante, surrender, Naradama, lowest among mankind, Mayaya, by the illusory energy, Apakrita, stolen. Jnana, whose knowledge. Asuram, demoniac. Bhavam, nature. Ashritaha, accepting. Translation purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, who are lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. Purport. It is said in the Bhagavad Gita that simply by surrendering oneself under the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can surmount the stringent laws of material nature. At this point, a question arises. How it is that educated philosophers, scientists, businessmen, administrators, and all the leaders of ordinary men do not surrender to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, the all-powerful personality of Godhead. Mukti, or liberation from the laws of material nature, is sought by the leaders of mankind in different ways, and with great plans and perseverance. For a great for a great many years and births. But if that liberation is possible by simply surrendering under the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then why don't these intelligent and hard-working leaders adopt this simple method? The Gita answers this question very frankly. Those really learned leaders of society like Brahma, Shiva, Kapila, the Kumaras, Manu, Vyasa, Devala, Asita, Janaka, Prahlad, Bali, and later on Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, Sichetanya, many others, who are faithful philosophers, politicians, educators, scientists, etc., surrender to the lotus feet of the Supreme Person, the all-powerful authority. Those who are not actually philosophers, scientists, educators, administrators, etc., but who pose themselves as such for material gain, do not accept the plan or path of the Supreme Lord. They have no idea of God. They simply manufacture their own worldly plans and consequently complicate their problems of material existence in their vain attempts to solve them. Because material energy, nature, is so powerful, it can resist the unauthorized plans of the atheists and baffle the knowledge of planning commissioners. The atheistic plan makers are described herein by the word duskritina, or miscreants. Kriti means one who has performed meritorious work. The atheist plan maker is sometimes very intelligent and meritorious also, because any gigantic plan, good or bad, must take intelligence to execute. But because the atheist brain is improperly utilized in opposing the plan of the Supreme Lord, the atheistic plan maker is called Dushkriti, which indicates that his intelligence and efforts are misdirected. So this has about six page purport. 1, 2, 3, 4. No. And our manager lady who organizes Gita wants to make 5 days out of it. So that's my part, what I got after this. About Dushkritina. And then there will be four different topics. It means Muda, Maya Pratigyana, Asura, and Naradama. So these four kinds of mentalities that will be discussed from tomorrow on. So I only got the part of Dushkritina. That means in general, the general mentality. Amam Dushkritina Mudha Prabhatante Naradama Maya Pratigyana Asurasta Pavam Ashritaha. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, who are lowest amongst mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. Om agyatimaranyasya gananchana salakyam chakshurunmilitam yena tasma shri gurave namaha si chaitanya manobhistam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kathamayam dadati sva padantikam. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktarinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this chapter is entitled Knowledge of the Absolute. So here in this seventh chapter, Krishna is describing about how to realize him, how to experience him, first through the material nature, through the material elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, the sunshine, the moonshine, the syllable Om. So there are different manifestations of the Lord in this material world, through whom or we can realize Him. Also the taste of the water, like that. Rasavai apsakantiya, I'm the taste of the water. So Krishna is explaining how to realize Him first with the gross senses, not with the spiritual senses, that we can realize Him by taking prasadam, by drinking water, our daily food, and all the nature observances we can understand. These are all manifestations or representations of Krishna. This is Krishna's energy, and Krishna's energy is not different from Krishna. It's not different from God. God and His energy, they are the same, and different also. Because He is the powerhouse, and energy is coming from the powerhouse. So that means He always remains the supreme powerhouse, the supreme source of all the powers. But He also expands Himself through energy, through Shakti, in the material world, in the spiritual world, and also the spirit souls, the jivas, they are part and parcels. They also belong to His Shakti, Tathashta Shakti. The spiritual nature is para-shakti, or antaranga, internal energy, and external energy, bahiranga, the maya, the illusion. So the conditioned souls are entangled in the illusion, taking this material existence as all in all, as the... And put all their intelligence, all their concentration in manipulating the material energy. Everyone is dependent on the energy of the Lord, because without the energy of the Lord, there is no existence. So everything is resting on the energy of the Lord. But those who are exploiting this energy of the Lord, they become more and more entangled in it. And therefore they are described here as Dushkritina. As misguided intelligence. Kritena means activities, and dush means bad or misguided, evil activities. There's an Upanishad verse where this is described that there's a certain class of people, although they seem to be very intelligent, they're very educated, and in the material field and society very recognized, but actually they have no realization and knowledge about the Atma, about the eternal existence of the soul, and also have no faith accordingly in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and do not surrender unto Him. And therefore, these kind of so-called intelligent persons, they're not intelligent at all. They're actually very foolish. Their intelligence is only external, it's material, it's temporary. Next life there will be maybe trees or hawks or dogs. And then their intelligence will work in this direction according to the hawk and dog mentality. But as a human being, we have to use our intelligence proper for the understanding of the Lord. This is called Buddhi Yoga. Krishna describes Buddhi Yoga in the Bhagavad Gita, by linking our process with ourself, with the help of intelligence on the Supreme Self, Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the heart, a super soul, and become realized in this way, and become detached from the material energy. Those who are intelligent, in materialistic way, they like to do all kinds of achievements and improvements of the material in the material world. They wanted to make a better world than God has created, and they become very puffed up because of that, very proud. But their plans, as Prabhupada is pointing out, they ultimately become defeated. because the material world means one of the symptoms of material world is defeat, parabhava. Parabhava yavad abodachata, yavanna chigyasata atma tattvam. Everyone who has no atma tattva, no realization of the self and the super soul in the heart, the Supreme Lord, he must be in ignorance. So all his activity, what he performs, is a defeat. It's parabhava. Therefore, the material existence is known as pavarga. Pavarga and apavarga. Spiritual existence is apavarga. Material existence is pavarga. Pa, 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 ba, ba, and ma. So it means pavarga, means it is defeat. Second, it is panila, it is hard work, very hard work. Baya, it is fearful, and banda, it is bondage. Hey, boy, Haribol, you have to go back. Yeah. You cannot play here. It's not a play thing here. Or go here on the side and play there, in the corner. Don't sit before the speaker and play around. It's not proper. So, ma means that. Pavarga means bondage. It means defeat. It means hard work. It means fear, and it means that. And apavarga means opposite. Fearless, one becomes fearless, Vaikuntha, because one understands, one realizes, I'm not this body, I'm spirit soul, we are aham brahmasmi, we are eternal, we are not actually dying. The body is only changing and dying all the time. And therefore, those who want to improve the material existence and want to attain so-called freedom in material existence, this is actually not real freedom. Materialists, they want to be free of the laws of material nature, but without spiritual knowledge. And they want to become free so that they can do whatever they like, that they can perform all kinds of duskritina activities. So therefore they like to have a kingdom of God, freedom, where they can do whatever they like, but without God consciousness, without devotion. They want to be the enjoyers. They want to rule over the world and in a free way, without the stringent laws of nature, without karma, without the trigunas. But everyone who reads Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, they can understand that these trigunas always exist, and we cannot overcome them in a material way, by materialistic activities, by our intelligence, by our scientific research, by political, diplomatic dealings, and by management and all these things. We cannot do it through science, because it's material. So a material problem we cannot solve with another material. So-called material solution, it becomes more and more a problem. Therefore, the only solution for the problem, if you want to become free of the stringent law of nature and free of karma, and really want to become free, is to surrender to Krishna. But the duskritina, those who are miscreants, and that even if they hear about Krishna's words, Krishna's instruction from the Bhagavad Gita, they twist it around. Or they don't accept it. They say this is only opinion of somebody, so-called avatar. I not accept. I'm an intelligent person. I know better. So although they hear well-wishing instruction of Krishna through Arjuna, they don't accept. So therefore the materialistic person, they close their eyes before the transcendental knowledge of Krishna given by the Lord and the Shastras, and they invent their own self-imposed knowledge with their fallible mind and intelligence and senses. And therefore, it is defeat. It means destruction. Ultimately, they become deeply frustrated, and they cannot. And even if they still, even if they get so many lessons, Matirna Krishna Paradaksatava Mitobri Padyeta Grihavratanam Adanta Gobir Vishadanta Mishram Puna Puna Charvita Charvananam. As Prahlad Maharaj is pointing out to his father, those who don't put their intelligence on Krishna, Matir na Krishna, Paradoxo Tovya, they have so many other ideas how to become happy in this material world, how to engage and how to spend your life, but not have no interest in Krishna, Matir na Krishna. And therefore, those who take this vow, of Grihamedi, Matirna Krishna Parataksatova Pibot Pivapi Vadieta Grihavrata Grihavrata Nam. They take a vow of Grihavrata that only family life, materialistic social life, this is happiness, this is life, this I want. And therefore, for those people, misguided people, who only have interest in materialistic family lifestyle, they cannot, by their own experience, nor by the instruction of others, nor through a mixture of both of knowledge and experience, they cannot take any lesson, and they go on chewing the jute again and again. Punak punak charvita charvananam. They always chewing the jute again, like a chewing gum. And in the night they put it on the night shelf, and in the morning they take it again and chewing again, although there's no more chews in it. Yeah. Our Prabhupada gave the example of sugar cane. Somebody is pressing sugar cane to take the juice from it, and then they throw these cans on the side, and then cows are coming. Here in Vrindavan, you can see, and then they chew. In the beginning, there's still a little juice there, maybe, in the can. Some drops of juice are there. But then, if there's nothing to chew anymore, there's no more juice in it, then it is there, and another cow will come and they'll go on chewing. So this is called chewing the jute. And then there's no more juice in it. So it will not have any taste, it have not any pleasure in this chewing process of material existence. It becomes more and more pale and senseless. And therefore exist... Hey, control yourself a little. So we have to learn from Bhagavad Gita, by the well-wishing instruction of Krishna, to follow and not follow the propaganda of the selfish, misguided leaders. Although they have Nobel Prize awards, they may be very recognized in the society by many big men. But what Bhagavatam says? They're all Svavitvara Hostra Karai. Those men who are like dogs, hawks, camels, and asses, with such a kind of mentality, they're glorifying others who have who are bigger dogs, hawks, camels, and asses. And as Bhagavatam states, Natevi dusvata katim hi vishnum dvarasa bahirata manina andhairandhai upaniyamanas depisha tantra urudamnibadha. So if we are following those who have no knowledge and no interest in Vishnugati, if we are following them, although they are bigger animals than we are in the materialistic society, then it will lead we come to a cliff, you know, where you drop down in the whirlpool of ignorance. This material world is a whirlpool of ignorance, and if you are one time in it, you hardly come out. And it's very difficult to come out if you are in the whirlpool. And it's like a soak. You're hopelessly lost. And we are forced, you know, in these whirlpools and in these streams of the material river of existence, this Vaitarani river. We are forced, and we cannot come out. Like there is the story of the Markandeya Rishi. He wanted to see Maya. He got the darshan of Naranarayana Rishi in the Himalayas. So they asked him, the Lord asked him, what is your desire? What is your wish? So Markandeya says, I want to see your Maya. Oh, really? You want to see my Maya? You want to see my Maya? You're really sure about this? You don't have another desire? Then he said, no, I only want to see your Maya. I have seen many other things, and I have seen spiritual and material energy, but I want to get the full experience of your Maya. And then the Lord says, okay, so be it. And there was a devastation. That means the material ocean increases more and more and gets a flood, where everyone was flooding in it. Everyone was in these whirlpools and streams of the Maya samsara. And that Markandeya Rishi wanted to experience. And he saw how the whole universe is drowned helplessly in this ocean of birth and death. Even himself. But somehow or other he saw one island after some time, and on that island was a small boy sitting on that island on a banyan tree, and he was sucking on his own toe. And this was actually the Supreme Lord. Aniruddha is a super soul who is the source of the material existence. He is the only one who was not attached by this ocean of birth and death. But this Rishi, he was in the ocean of birth and death, so he wanted to go more near to this boy, he wanted to embrace him, you know? And then suddenly everything disappeared. So, and he came up he came to his consciousness again. When in his ashram. So he had this experience of the Maya, and he saw also what is not Maya. He saw Lord Vishnu, he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was not touched by Maya. He's Mayesha, he's the controller of Maya, he's transcendental, he's Param. And only if we're approaching him, then the material existence will have an end. Then all the Dushkritina will have an end. Only then we will become happy. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Lord Chaitanya came to Vrindavan, it's described how in Mathura he met one Brahmana, Saradiya Brahmana. He was who was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. And then Lord Chaitanya found out that he's a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, he immediately offered him his respect. And also this Brahmana
offered his respect to Lord Chaitanya because he saw his ecstatic dancing, his ecstatic symptoms of Krishna Prema. So he understood this personality is not an ordinary person. He must have some relationship with Mata Vendrapuri. Otherwise, it is not possible to reveal such kind of ecstasy. Then later on, when Lord Chaitanya met this Brahmana, when they had opportunity to speak with each other, then it was revealed that Lord Chaitanya's identity and the Brahmana's identity, his relationship with Mata Vendrapuri, and that actually this Brahmana was a disciple of Mata Vendrapuri. And there is a very nice verse describing description of how religious principles and conducts, proper behavior, are manifested and taught by the Mahajans. And only by following the footsteps of the Mahajans, one can actually become liberated and become recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there is a long purport by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Maharaj. Prabhupada is quoting him. Actually, the whole purport is from Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, where he describes that people, there are different kinds of Mahajans. Actually, the original Mahajans are quoted here. They're Prahlad, Janaka, Bhishma, Brahma, Shiva, Narada, Shukadev Goswami, Yamaraj, like that. There are 12 Mahajans, original Puranic Mahajans. Bhishma Dev is also one of them, Janaka Maharaj. But Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati says that the materialists, they make their own Mahajans. Like Darwin is a Mahajan, they take him as a Mahajan. Some atheistic propagandists or psychologists, they become Mahajans. Because they're establishing a nice psychological philosophy and understanding and school, like Freud and Jung, like that. So they take them as Mahajans, as very great souls. According to every mentality of people, you know, they all have their Mahajans. Either in the philosophical level, in the scientist level, in the school, educational level, in the political levels, in the economical levels, in the charitable and philanthropical levels. There are so many Mahajans that people are glorifying because they did something very great for the people. But actually, it is pointed out in this purport that they're actually not Mahajans, because nobody of them actually surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nobody of them surrendered to Him. Nobody could conquer the birth, old age, disease, and death. In the end, they became defeated themselves. And then he points out, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, that we cannot, people in the material world, we cannot determine who is a Mahajan and who is not. So we have to understand who is a Mahajan by the revealed scriptures, like the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and by the Bhagavata authorities themselves, Mahajans. And everyone who actually following these Mahajans, they become Mahajan. Mahajan means a great soul. And who is a great soul? Krishna is telling, Mahatmanas tumam partha daivim prakritim ashrita. A Mahatma is he who takes shelter in my internal energy, who takes shelter in me. Not in the external energy. Those who are taking shelter in external energy, they are not Mahatma, they are Duratma. Even if they are great social workers, scientists, philosophers, psychologists, they are all rascals. They are Dushkritina, because it's only on material level, platform. And that will not solve the problem. It makes only the problem worse. They prolong the existence of the material life of the conditioned soul was any way attached. Everyone is attached to this material world. Therefore, everyone who is teaching the people, you know, through a materialistic way to become happy and liberated, that is rascal. Yeah. And the real Mahajans never do that. They give the people a tool, a way, a principle. And this is called Sadhu Vritti. The principles given by Sadhu, who are in the mode of goodness, not in ignorance or in passion, to elevate the people to the platform of goodness. And therefore, Varnashram is very scientific. Varnashram is Sadhu Vritti. Because every Varna and every ashrama has a conduct, it has a sadhana, it has principles. There's no Varna, no ashrama who has no principle. Only what is outside of Varnashram has no principles. They do whatever they like, or they make their own principles. But our principle is given by the Mahajans, by the scriptures. Therefore, Varnashram is scientific. It is given by God Himself. The Varnashram Vibhagasa, Svanusitasya Dharmasya Samsitir Haritoshanam. And Varnashram is made to satisfy Lord Hari. And so, and everyone who actually follows Varnashram, although it is not a bhakti anga, it is not a part or an anga of bhakti, become purified, and ultimately Varnashram will lead to bhakti. No, it's not bhakti itself, but it will lead to bhakti, because it will lead the people to become good people, sadhu vritti, to follow proper conduct, not duskritina conduct. If I follow the duskritina conduct, then we go glide down to hell. The whole society will go down to hell. And if I follow the sadhu vritti conduct, that means the conduct elevating people gradually to the transcendental platform, that will lead to liberation. That will lead to Krishna's lotus feet. And this process devotees follow. And we are also propagating. We should be convinced about this process, because this is the only process who can liberate the persons, the people. They're all yearning for it, but they are misguided. That's the unfortunate situation. They're misguided. They're misdirected by the blind leaders. Anda andantaya upadiyamanas te pisha tantra urutham nibhata. So, but if we follow always the acharya mark, or the instruction given by the acharyas coming from parampara, that will liberate us. Then those who are practicing it are liberated. And now our concern is not to be liberated or become liberated. We should only teach people how to follow this path of sadhu vritti, of devotional service, and also guide them by our own example, according to our own varna and ashrama. Everyone has a certain nature. This is called svabhava. Everyone has a particular nature. This is svabhava. This is what we got from past life. It's karma. It's a certain mentality. Hey, Mataji, why you don't switch off your machine? I cannot understand. I switch it off, others switching off, you cannot switch it off. Foolish. So we all have a certain svabhava, and we have to follow our svabhava. Now somebody maybe will say, oh, my svabhava is now demoniac. My svabhava is, I want to enjoy. I want to break all the... I cannot follow your principles, you know. Because it's not my nature. My nature is not to be a devotee. My nature is now to eat meat because I like it. I cannot live without that. I have to smoke. I like it. I cannot live without that. But my dear sir, this is not nature. This is habit. Nature is something else. We all actually have a nature to be servant. And actually to do something, you know, for benefiting others. Of course, a certain class of people, but there are very, very little amount of people who are really miscreants, who are demons, who are misguiding the people, misleading the people consciously. But most of the people, they are ignorant. They are not aware. And for them, Prabhupada, he told, we have to go and preach. We have to meet them and convince them about the principles of devotional service. And we have to understand, like for ourselves, who of us we want to become devotee? Who actually wanted to join? Chant Hare Krishna, shave your head, and dress this strange robe, you know, in saffron or in white. Nobody actually thought like that and put this yellow clay on our forehead. And walking around whole day with a bag, you know, like somebody in a hospital, you know. So it's and jumping around like madmen on the street, because people, you know, if you become happy and jumping around on the street, you know, they think they are crazy. They're not normal. Even in a bus, we have to be careful. How you cannot smile to look at somebody and smile to somebody, otherwise they will think, you know, he's crazy. Something is not normal with him. Someone has to look very grave. Because people have a certain kind of understanding and habit given by them through propaganda work, from their parents, with their association that they have. But that's actually not their nature. Their nature is actually, they don't understand. They didn't understood yet their nature. They take something as nature, but it's not their nature. And only the devotee who actually understands his nature, who understands his vana and his ashrama, and ultimately his occupation, supreme occupation as an eternal servant of Krishna and to the spiritual master, he can actually convince them and show them by his own example how they can also follow this without difficulty. We give them actually higher enjoyment. Prabhupada told, he wants to establish Varnashram Dharma because the biggest problem will be solved, has to be solved, is food problem, is our eating problem. Because now the people eating all garbage, rotten food, not proper food in the mode of goodness. And therefore, according to that, they get a certain mentality. And this is all a propaganda and industry behind it, who only want to make more and more money on the cost of the people. And therefore Prabhupada told, I want to stop that. Therefore, farm communities and food distribution and lectures, you know, and lessons how to cook and how to be happy and live healthy and even enjoy by Krishna Prasadam. And he told, by distributing this Krishna Prasadam, this will change their mentality. And the people will get Krishna Prasadam. Many cannot understand books now, because they cannot concentrate. Therefore we have to give them first Prasadam, then they become purified, and then we can give them philosophy. So that's the process. First Prasadam. So then people become attracted and they become interested in, you know, ultimately also in philosophy and in the practice of devotional service. So therefore we as devotees, as followers of Srila Prabhupada, we have a great duty, obligation of the parampara to the parampara to spread this Krishna consciousness by our own example, not showing the bad examples, although attempts are here, illusions are here. But Prabhupada told, if you stick to the regulative principles, chant 16 rounds every day, follow the sadhana of early morning, Mangala Aartik and Teti worship and worshipping Guru and attending Bhagavad Katha or reading Bhagavad and chanting and doing kirtan also, and associate with devotees who are have a taste in devotional service, then actually we can overcome our bad habits. So we have to be enthusiastic. We have to be eager, because without eagerness and without enthusiasm, we cannot attain anything. So we have to be very, very eager to follow these principles of freedom, of devotional service, and not following enthusiastically and eagerly the examples of the materialists. So if we have the good fortune to know in which direction to go, then it is our duty to inform others, to give this knowledge to others, and then they can accept it. Everyone can accept it, because 99.9% of the people are innocent. They only follow Dushkritina conducts because they don't know something better. But if they receive a book of Srila Prabhupada, nice prasadam, nice care of devotees, who are very friendly and very nice and guiding to them, they change. Because they're looking actually after something like that, after ideals. Ideal person, ideal society, ideal process. But they don't know, because what they see in TV and read in newspapers, it's not, it's all Dushkritina. So therefore we have to get this Dushkritina propaganda, we have to overcome this Dushkritina propaganda by book distribution, by prasadam distribution, and by devotees' personal example in the society. Nowadays, devotees are more in the society. Previously, we were only in ashram, in the temple. And very rarely somebody came to the temple. But now, people have so much opportunity to see how devotees are living, and how they behave, and how they act. And they're very amazed. They can live without TV, without newspaper, without eating meat, without any sinful activities, what we are doing, all these habits they don't have, how they can actually be happy, how they can enjoy. But then if they see that the devotees are actually more enjoying than them, then of course they are only enjoying because they have to take alcohol, smoking, intoxicating themselves, and then they can feel a little happy. They have to make themselves crazy to become happy. But this is Asura Bhava. This is the Bhava or the emotion or mentality of Asura. But we are following the Daiva Sampat. That means the conduct and the process of Daiva. That means transcendental devotees. And so therefore, if we follow the devotees, then it's perfect. And therefore the devotees have to go out and show themselves to the people, live with the people, or nearby of the people, without becoming infected by their habits, but so that people gradually become infected by the devotees' habits. And ultimately this process works, because we can see devotees who are living outside, they can attract other people to also live like them. And the process works. Although maybe not in big quantity always, in some places maybe more bigger, some more less. But Prabhupada told, we are not into the quantity. Even if my Guru Maharaj told, Prabhupada told, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, only if one person from all our preaching propaganda will turn out as a Madhyama Adhikari, my mission is considered successful. So it's not the quantity. And that what we read today on Parikrama, or discussed, you know, Prabhupada told, it's not important the result. The important is the eagerness. Yeah. That's a very far out statement. The result is actually byproduct. The eagerness to serve Krishna, this is wanted. And therefore we are eternally thankful to Srila Prabhupada because he invoked in us, he kindled, you know, with his fire of eagerness to serve his Guru and Parampara and Krishna ultimately. So he kindled in us this fire so that we also become eager. And that's the only prize, Ramananda Roy says. Is if love to Krishna is somewhere available on the marketplace, what is the price? Eagerness. Eagerness is the price. Because out of eagerness to enjoy, independent of Krishna, material world is existing, and if we become eager to serve Krishna and to serve the Vaishnavas, the liberated persons, Mahatsevam Tvaram Ahor Vimukte Tamo Tvaram Yoshita Sangi Sangam. So if we serve the Mahat, the gateway to spiritual world is open. And if we follow the Tamaguna, those who are non-devotees, then that will lead to hell. Asat Sangha Tyaga E Vaishnavachara Stri Sangha Krishna Bhakta Asaduhara. So Lord Chaitanya strictly told us we should only associate with devotees and avoid association with Dushkritinas or anything that has no devotion. Stri Sangha, Krishna Bhakta, Asadu. This we have to give up. Dushkritina we have to give up and only follow the Sukritina. The Sukritinas are described in the next verses then, or next loka, Sukritina. Although they are not transcendental ultimately, but this is the platform where we can become transcendental or pure devotees. Sukritina. So it's opposite of Dushkritina. So these are the eight mentalities, or two. The Dushkritina and Sukritina, and the Sukritina ultimately leads to bhakti, to the pure devotional service, and to the satisfaction of Krishna, Haritoshanam. And if Krishna is pleased, then there's all blessings there. That is wanted. So it's not the result, we don't have to be attached to result, we should only try to to be eager to serve and to follow this process of bhakti. And the more we are doing it steadily, every day, all the time, nitya means steadily, continuously, then that is purifying. Then we become more and more spiritualized. And it's like iron. If iron is, Prabhupada mentioned also, If iron is in touch with the fire, then it becomes fiery, and then you can beat it. If you take iron out of the fire and it cools down, you cannot beat it anymore. So we have to beat the iron to form something out of it, as long as it is in fiery, not cooled down. So therefore we always have to stay in the fire of devotional service, in this eagerness of laulyam, eager to serve Krishna in this ninefold process of devotional service. This eagerness we should always try to cultivate and never let it cool down. And then whoever comes in contact with the devotee who is fired up in devotional service, other devotees and people will also become inspired. So I stop here. Hare Krishna. Any question maybe? Comment?
Guru Maharaj, we see that so many people are attracted to Krishna consciousness movement, and at the same time we see that not everyone can attain perfection. So, and can you explain what is the criteria how we transform themselves, not become just temporary in society of devotees, but become more eager and у нас много людей, которые привлекаются к сознанию Кришны, но не все вот доходят до конца, и вот как сделать так, чтобы все-таки не быть среди просто преданных, которые временно дойти до конца, какой критерий?
Rupa Goswami said, patience is needed, dhairya. First, utsaham. But sometimes in the beginning we are over utsaha. We also discussed today, we are too much over-enthusiastic. The first few months and years in Krishna consciousness, we already think, I already made it, I'm already more than perfect, and we become little more or less, and we become very much puffed up. And self-confident, you know, and then, but we, during the years of practice, we realize it is not so easy. So then the spirit goes down. But this is natural. If you read Madhurya Kadambini by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he describes these symptoms, you know, as on the level of how's it called? Anishtita. Yeah, Anishtita Bhakti. So it's as long as you're not fully free of anatta and fixed in nishta, that means in fixed bhakti, there's between bhajana kriya and nishta, there's a level that's called anishtita. Yeah. It's not nishta, and it is also not... it is still in bhajana kriya, but it's not fully... anchored in the nishta. That means there's still anatta there. Or some, I would say, mental and conceptions. And one is this, I would say, these ups and downs. So you become very enthusiastic sometimes, and sometimes also very unenthusiastic. So it seems to be, because it's written in that book, that everyone goes through these kind of symptoms. He mentions six symptoms of anishtita bhakti, and one is of that, it's utsahamayi. One is easily utsaha, enthusiastic, but then also opposite of that, become depressed and hopeless and frustrated and disinspired. And what we have to do is we have to associate with devotees who are fixed in nishta and more. And by association with fixed and steady devotees, we can also become like them. Alone we cannot make it. And that is what we see in many devotees. They start in the beginning enthusiastically, also choosing spiritual master. Getting initiated, they even go through Bhakti Shastri because it is a must to get the second recommendation for second initiation and like that. And so actually they go, mostly follow the process because of must. Understand? Because of must. I must. Because I want to become initiated. So they feel themselves forced. It's not actually not really natural. Therefore, in the beginning, they become very enthusiastic and very eager for that. But then later on, because it is still artificial, it is not really genuine, not really coming from the soul, from the inside. It's mostly dependent on your association, mostly a little fanatical association you have, or we had, who are actually give you direction, and they fire you up, and then you follow them. But then if they're not around anymore, and you're somewhere else, because you maybe not always live together, and they maybe also not always fired up, they get different experiences, then they go away, or they're changing their way of life. And then we lose this association with those ideals we had, then we suddenly have nobody anymore. Sometimes spiritual master leaves, sometimes other authority who was a great example and inspiration in our devotional service, he leaves or is not following the same thing anymore. And then doubt is coming up, the demon doubt comes up, and we start then also becoming more mental and feel not enthusiastic anymore to follow these principles and compromise and something with psychology, reading New Age books and whatever is nowadays you see devotees. And then they suddenly they start to speculate and to what is the word for it? To equalize psychology and New Age or some kind of a yoga practice or process what they also feel helps them in their life to improve their lives with bhakti. And they equalize psychology and New Age philosophy with bhakti. And they want to merge it, to merge it together, And this is the great mistake what we make. That we are try to mix, material science with bhakti. The bhakti science is not dependent on material science. Material science is material science. Leave it like that. If somebody is diseased, you go to a doctor. You don't have to go to guru, right? If you have physical disease, you don't go to guru. Can you tell me what I should do? I have heart problem, I have liver problem. For that you have doctor. So we don't have to make the doctor profession a bhakti profession. Our bhakti equalizes with bhakti. So it is always the profession. And that stays the profession. But bhakti is untouchable. It comes from above. It is not coming from here, from our world. It comes from above, from the transcendental world. Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankita. It comes down to us. And we cannot mix now bhakti with the material science. Otherwise we are deluding bhakti. And then bhakti is not pure anymore. Of course, bhakti is always pure, but it becomes Mishra bhakti. Mishra with karma, with jnana, with yoga, with mystic, with psychology. And we are making a kind of tutti-frutti mixture of different kinds of sciences and processes. And this is the big problem that we're facing also in our movement, because many devotees will lose the trust in the process of bhakti. They want to mix something with materialistic science and want to equalize it with bhakti. And that we should not do. We should leave that like that, you know, and then they can apply it. The psychologists and philosophers and scientists. What they should do, they should become first devotee, chant Hare Krishna, read Prabhupada's books, eat Krishna Prasadam, associate with devotees, become devotee themselves, and then automatically the whole science what they are practicing, they will ultimately see it is useless and they will give it up, and will take fully shelter in the bhakti yoga process. Why we are accepting Varnashram Dharma? Because Varnashram Dharma is given by Krishna and in the sphere of bhakti. And the Rupa Goswami tells us we should accept that what is favorable for bhakti and we should reject that what is unfavorable for bhakti. You agree? Answers your question? And therefore the devotees who are already longer time practicing, they should show the devotees, the new devotees, that actually bhakti itself is perfect. We don't need another system, another process that will support bhakti. Bhakti doesn't need any support. Bhakti is perfect in itself. That's the problem, you know. Then people getting more interested in psychology than in Bhagavatam, in Bhagavat Katha, in Bhagavat process. And they go, they prefer to go in Bhagavat in psychological sessions, because that's very interesting, you know. Because everyone can speak about himself and reveal his life, you know, and what he thinks and feels, and that is very interesting, you know. Gives more taste than to speak about Krishna. But ultimately, we have to learn, if you want to overcome our material disease, we have to learn how to speak about Krishna and become interested in Krishna. Not so much about ourselves. Actually, the devotee doesn't like to speak about himself so much, as less as possible, because he doesn't feel himself very important and something very important to speak about. It's only garbage inside. So nobody should be interested in that. But in these psychological sessions, you know, so much garbage is coming out, so many problems is coming out. And everyone is very much interested and attracted to listen to other people's garbage. And then, of course, the mind becomes polluted. It don't become free. The process of freedom is Bhagavad Gita and chanting Hare Krishna. And that faith we should emphasize and teach the devotees. There's nothing else to teach as Vaishnavas. Otherwise, you can do any school that you like, but don't mix it with bhakti. Don't mix it with bhakti. Yeah. There's so many things what can help, what can bring the people to, like Varna Shandharma, we don't mix it with bhakti. Problem is also sometimes certain devotees want to equalize Varna Shandharma with bhakti. But Varna Shama is not transcendental, it's a material process. What is accepted by the acharyas because it's favorable to lead us to bhakti. And it can support our bhakti process. Because we are not transcendental. So therefore we need a ground, you know, of activity. And this ground everyone has. Everyone has a certain vana and ashrama as nature. And that we should find out and follow according to that nature. And that will make us strong. If you follow another nature from another ashrama because you think this is more nice for me or another varna, then you drop on the nose. Even if you want to do a better or attain perfection in it because it's not your nature. Ultimately, you lose your ground and you drop on the nose. Therefore, Krishna tells, better you follow your nature imperfectly than the other somebody else's nature or occupation perfectly, in an artificial way. So I don't know what you can do. I don't know what you can do. You have to figure out what you can do in such a circumstances. If you want to stay or not to stay, that you have to decide. The problem is if everybody leaves and who has interest in the bhakti process and only leaves everything to a psychological program or new age program, then gradually the teachings of Srila Prabhupada and the process of bhakti will gradually go lost. And then devotees will come in the process of bhakti yoga or in the temple, they don't know anymore what are our principles. And if they know or hear about the principle, they become surprised and shocked. And they say, oh, I understood something completely different. Yeah, Mukari. I have to explain what bhakti is.
Yeah.
You don't know what is bhakti? You don't know what is bhakti? Yeah, but then take a whole lecture, you know. We're speaking, actually all the time we're speaking about bhakti.
How do you explain bhakti?
The word bhakti means loving devotion to Krishna. There's bhakti. There's three things, you know, bhakti, bhakta, and bhaktya. Bhakta is the Supreme Lord to whom bhakti is given. And bhakta is the one who is practicing bhakti, to bhaktya. So therefore the process to serve the Lord and to love the Lord by the bhakta is called bhakti. First we follow Vidhi. Bhakti has three divisions. Vidhi. Vaidhi Mark. Actually, it has three divisions: sadhana, bhava, and bhakti. Sadhana Bhakti is divided into two, in Vidhi and Raga. The nature of the soul is to be an eternal servant of Krishna, but he is in ignorance. He has forgotten it. He is covered by Maya. So therefore, you have to learn from the spiritual master and from the guidelines of the scriptures to regulate yourself, your habits, because we accepted so many bad habits. We made bad habits our nature. And to rectify these bad habits, we have to follow the positive habits of bhakti by following rules and regulations. This is called Vidhi Mark or Vaidhi Mark. And without Vaidhi, there is no Raga. Nice. Congratulations. What you are interested in?
In the other books, not about making books and Krishna books. I am interested, but knowing this conversation between the teachers, and I think it's more.
In my time, when I joined, I also had my favorite book with me. I like to read, It was a book by Vivekananda on the teachings of Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. Yeah. It's actually Mayavadi book. But it had very nice principles and nice things in it, what inspired me to actually become devotee and to become interested in this bhakti process. But then, and I also have another book from Yogananda, a prayer book by Yogananda. But then when I joined, the devotees find out, that I'm reading also these two books. That was my secret book, what I read, next to Prabhupada books. And then they told me, I should not read this. I should not read this because ultimately this is Mayavadi. This is, not really clear with the pure bhakti process teach by Rupa Goswami and by Prabhupada. So I had to make a decision, if I want to stay a devotee in the temple and follow the practice of Prabhupada's teachings, that I had to decide either I will leave the temple or I will stay and then I have to leave these books. So then I made the decision, that I had to throw these two books away. Actually, I felt better after it. Because the problem is, if you have too many, teachers. Because they're all teachers, Teachers. Quran is a teacher. Bible is a teacher. Bhagavad Gita is a teacher. Some psychology books are teachers. Yoga books are teachers. So every book what you read is actually a teacher. It's written by somebody who is a teacher who wanted to show you a way of life. Right? You agree? Buddhism also like that. But at one point, you know, we cannot have many teachers who have different opinions, different ways of life. So we have to choose a teaching from a teacher and surrender to that. Otherwise, we will never surrender. Understand? Yeah, because the process of bhakti means it's a surrendering process, it's sharanagati. And if you always leave it free, I can also read, now today I'm not in the mood to read Bhagavad Gita, I read the Holy Quran, today I read the Bible, today I read a New Age, chicken soup of the soul. Then ultimately you cannot fix, you cannot surrender. It maybe is pleasing to your mind, but you stay the same. And every day you feel different, you know. That means you are very whimsical. Accepting and rejecting. Accept, and then you reject something to accept it again back. So we have to ultimately make a decision. Which doctrine, which philosophy, which teaching I want to accept and surrender to that fully. Then you can, from that point on, you can make progress. Then you get taste. Then we become eager. Otherwise, we only enjoy one time. To read different religious books or philosophies means. Today, it's like going into a restaurant. Today, I like to go to an Italian restaurant. Today, I want to go to a Greek restaurant. Today, I want to go to a Chinese restaurant and to a Japanese restaurant. Like that. And what this means, you know, you only want to satisfy your senses. So but you don't want to surrender. And those who are surrendered, you know, even if you give them some other meal or some other process, you know, they maybe don't like. Because they're addicted to Krishna prasad. We're prasadarians, you know. We only eat that what Krishna likes to eat. Therefore, we also only follow the philosophy what Krishna gives or the process. Then you can make progress. Then you can, by surrendering. But you got it, I understand. So I don't have to explain more. Yeah, if you want to get real benefit, you should do it with consciousness. That means you should absorb yourself in that what you are doing. Then you can get some experience, you can get some taste, and you can improve it. Otherwise, if you are listening lecture or music, you do it so mechanical. You're not really there with the heart and with your soul. Of course, sometimes it's a very banal, very simple service, but it's maybe very boring, mechanical, always the same thing, then it's okay to listen. But if you're cooking, or if you do puja, if you take prasadam, you should not listen to anything, you should only meditate. You should absorb yourself in the eating process, respecting prasadam. You should meditate and absorb yourself in the deity worship, in book distribution service. in cooking, especially also cooking is an absorption. And it's actually not recommended to listen lecture or kirtan. And you should just meditate. You should absorb yourself in it. That's the best.
Cleaning,
I don't see a problem, you know. I know some devotees, they say nothing at all, but I read now Yamuna book. She's the best cook we had in ISKCON, and I read there, you know, that she always listened to Prabhupada, bhajans, and during the cooking process. And she was always absorbed. So you can be but sometimes, you know, one listens. I don't know what for music, bhakti music. If you listen now, Prabhupada, you know, because it's very devotional. You can hear it again and again, and you can go deeper and deeper in it. It is real, you know. But if you hear nowadays this new age Hare Krishna and bhajan and with electronics also and like that, then maybe not so much. We should not do, because then you become more dragged away by the melody, but not by the Hare Krishna mantra. Right? But with Prabhupada, you know, it's always so nice to hear, and then it's so, because it's so devotional, it helps you to improve your cooking, your absorption. And for eating or accepting prasadam, yeah, I prefer quiet. Others prefer prachan, or read Bhagavatam, or Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's whatever inspires you to absorb yourself. It's okay. And for cleaning work, okay, no problem. As long as it is clean after it. Okay, I think we have to stop now. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Rasa Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Yeah.